Little ones? Wee ones? Today's taking the guitar. Look out. Mr. Randy has the patience of Job, doesn't he? Most of us get called by the law, wouldn't we? Oh, man. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. There was a person that was complaining to, an atheist was complaining to a Christian, saying, you know what? Says, I really don't think it's fair that y'all get all these holidays as Christians. You get Easter, you get Christmas, you know, and of course the Jewish people have, you know, their holidays. So you religious folks get all these holidays. It's not fair. As atheists, we don't get these holidays. The Christian thought for a minute, looked at the atheist, and said, yeah, you do. There's a holiday you get every year. I said, what's that? So you get April Fool's. The Bible says the fool says in his heart there is no God. Rim shot. So anyway, y'all can pass that on. Got three laughs, but I thought it was pretty good. That's pretty funny, wasn't it, Joe? Joe didn't budge. Didn't budge. Oh. Hebrews 11. We're going to talk about the power of faith. This, of course, is mentioned or referred to many times as the faith chapter because it goes through a whole lineup here of different men and women that trusted God by faith. Now, something faith does, church, faith is supposed to move us. Faith is not just something we say. Faith's not just something we use as a vocabulary word or sound spiritual. Faith should move us. If we're truly walking in real faith, faith's going to move us in the direction God wants to take us. Faith's more than just saying, yes, Lord, I believe, but I believe unto action. I believe into moving forward. I believe into obedience of what you want me to do. So I don't know how far we'll get tonight. I'm just going to go through and see where we end up at. I won't keep you very long. I'll get you out on time. But let's start with verse 1, chapter 11. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word substance means assurance or reality. I think that's important to realize. Substance means an assurance or the reality. So faith is the reality. It's assurance of things hoped for. The evidence, the proof of things not seen. In other words, my faith should believe. I should have an assurance, not just a hopelessness about it, but a real assurance that what I can't see really exists. And I believe that. I believe there is a God. I can't see God the way that I sometimes want to see God. It would be great, right, if God could walk up to Gail at Walmart, the real God, and say, I am God. I want you to know I'm real. Here's my nail-scarred hands. You know, I'm God, and I am real. What you have believed all your life is real. You're going to be in heaven with me one day. That is real. No more sorrow. That's real. No more pain. That's real. To see your loved ones again, that's real. All that's real. We don't see God that way, but we do see God in all the things around us. I say many times, to me it's much harder to prove to someone there is not a God than there is a God. Because of all that we see, all the order of life. Man, it's too organized. It's too much put in place. It's too ordained to be an accident. And so we do see God all around us, but we don't maybe see him the way we want. So God gave us something called faith. That, Lord, I have an assurance that faith is real, and that the faith I believe in, the faith in you, is going to be realized and produce the proof that I believe in one day. And so I have assurance. I preached a funeral service this afternoon, and I told the congregation, I said, there is no doubt in my mind that there is no separation from the person that is gone until they see God. There is no lack of consciousness. I truly believe, because there's too much scripture to back this up, that there is a rim that when our breath leaves our body, we are in the presence of God immediately. There's not a torture chamber. There's not a holding cell anymore or ever. There's not a place to where we're not sure where we're at or where we're going. But I believe it's a seamless, completely seamless transition into the presence of God. And so that gives all of us hope. Hope and assurance that, yes, there's more beyond this life than what I see. Because what I see in the mirror is a decaying, aging body with loss of hair, wrinkles, whatever, you know, we see the effects of sin on our flesh. But it's not where we remain, and it's not what we stay in. This is simply the cocoon that God gave us and clothed us with to reveal later we will bust out of that cocoon, and the butterfly we shall appear to be will be the real us that God created from the foundations of the world. He formed us. He made us. He didn't make us just to die. He made us to live. And this is the transition we go through to get to that everlasting life. And I believe that. I have a hope and assurance that that reality is going to come to pass. It says, verse 2, the elders retained a good report by their faith. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. That's what Genesis says in Genesis 1, right? And God said, let there be light. And God said, let there be a firmament. And God said, let there be land. God said, let there be seas. God said, all in Genesis 1, we realize the world was formed by the word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Think about this. God created the mountains, the seas, the deserts, the jungles, all the things on this earth. He created from scratch. You talking about a homemade biscuit from scratch? I mean, God didn't even have the flour. He created it from nothing. That nothing was there. There was nothing in the recipe to start with except His Word. It wasn't there, and now it is. Mountains be formed. Seas begin to roll. Sun begin to shine. Moon come out. Stars dot the sky. As He spoke it, what wasn't there all of a sudden appeared. And it still is there all these eons of time later. How powerful is that? So by faith, we believe what we see was by the hand of God. We're going to skip down to verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Our walk with God is a walk of faith. And the naysayers want to say, how can you, a smart, intelligent human being, how can you, Roger, who has an engineering kind of mind, a contractor kind of mind, you realize that to have something, it's got to be built with nails and wood. How can you possibly serve something that you say it's by faith? I've got to have proof in the pudding. How much of our lives is a life of faith? Crossing the streets, an act of faith. Going to work, you're taking an act of faith. You don't get killed on the way to work. Everything is an act of faith. Eating a Big Mac at midnight, you're taking a big act of faith that you can sleep that night. I mean, everything is an act of faith. But when it comes to our faith in God, they want to criticize us. How can you have faith in something because everything I see God made and I trust that? Man can't make this. I couldn't see Jamie 20 feet in front of me a while ago. But I can see a sun 93 million miles away. That's pretty amazing. That sun is there to give us life. And for all the people, the doomsday people that say this is going to happen, it's going to happen. There ain't nothing going to happen outside the hand of God and the will of God. That's all there is to it. So I'm not afraid of the doomsday things. It doesn't matter to me. I know that I'm in the hands of God. And I know because He lives, I can and I will face tomorrow. I know that. And that's all that matters to me. So let the doomsdayers say what they want. But by faith we believe. By faith we must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that seek Him. Then it goes on in verse 7. They talk about some men who was moved by their faith. Moved to action by their faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Remember the story of Noah. A lot of people don't believe this happened either. People just want to, don't believe anything anymore except what they want to believe. Here's Noah. God warned Noah he's going to flood the earth. At this time, I know we can't process this, especially after the winter we had. We can't process this. But until this flood happened, rain did not come from the sky. That was a foreign thing. Rain did not come from the sky. God watered from underneath. Everything was watered from the ground. And so when Noah went around saying, God's going to rain, God's going to flood the earth, And he warned. In 120 years, he warned. If you read the Bible, it talks about people had 120 years to make things right. And Noah kept building and kept listening, kept building, kept listening. The people kept mocking, didn't listen, rebelled. Think how Noah must have felt. All that time. I mean, man, if God don't move for us by 3 o'clock Wednesday, we're done. Here Noah has to believe the world's going to be flooded to the point that he starts building this massive boat who looked like an idiot. He was probably considered the village idiot at the time. Here's this moron building this big old boat for what? Nothing's happening. Nothing's changing. The world's not flooded. 5 years go by, 10 years go by, 30 years go by, 50 years go by. What? Nothing's happening. But one day something did happen. One day the sky gave way to exactly what the Word of God said, and the rain began to fall, and it didn't stop until the world was flooded. By faith, Noah was moved into action. He didn't have to feel a raindrop on his nose. I mean, if Noah said, God, I'll build the ark if you let me feel just a little raindrop. Little bitty raindrop out there. Little bitty. Can I just feel a little something? Mm-mm. He moved into action years and years and years before the judgment came. What if he hadn't moved when he had moved? It'd been too late. He would not have been prepared. So why do we move by faith? To prepare our lives for what God has coming. And if we wait on a sign to know if it's really God or not, sometimes that might be too late. When he speaks to your heart, that's a sign. When he shows you something, that's a sign. His word of God, we read it, that's a sign. We are supposed to live and move and have our being in the faith of God, where it causes us to move into action. Not just say I have faith, but be moved by that faith into action. And that's what Noah did. Verse 8, by faith Abraham. We talked about this, I think, what, last Sunday or Sunday before or Wednesday before? Whenever we talked about it. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place, this was last Sunday morning, which he should go after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, look at this, not knowing whether he went. Abraham believed to a point it moved him out of a comfortable position, out of a place he always knew. He didn't even know where he was going. He didn't even have no clue where he was even going yet. God just said, I want you to move. I'm taking you out of this place and putting you in that place. Where is that place? I don't know. I mean, God knew, but Abraham didn't. All God was saying was just, you don't even know that right now. Just move. And as you move, I will reveal to you which way to go. Abraham moved by faith into obedience. And we know how that worked out. I said this Sunday, here we are today, thousands of years later, and we are called the seed of Abraham. Isn't that beautiful? Because Abraham moved by faith as God called him. 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. That's a powerful verse. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. And we're not talking about 40. We're talking about 99. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Remember, God promised Abraham and Sarah a child of their own. Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 99. And at first Sarah laughed when she heard the promise. She laughed when the angel told them what was going to happen. I think all of us would laugh. If an angel came to my grandma Mint and said, you will have a child, well, she probably would cry. Then she would laugh. Then she would cry again. What? What? Having a child? But by faith, they hung on to that promise. And I believe, if my memory is right on this, it was 12 years after that promise was made before it was fulfilled. 12 years. They waited on that promise. It's not always right now, but if God speaks something, be moved to a point that I believe it enough that I'm going to move into it. I'm going to move into that place. If you tell your child, stand behind me, a car's coming, and they don't see no car, they may not see a car. I don't see a car, mommy. But you see a car. Stand behind me, trust me. a car is coming. And sure enough, here comes a car racing by that they didn't see, but you did. God sees our future, and he sees the plan he has for us, and he sees every direction he wants us to go. But we have to have enough faith just to trust him at his word and not always, you know, one of the songs sung at the funeral today, I love the song, and Debbie Burgess sang that when she was here. It's called Stand Still and Let God Move. Stand still and let God move. Sometimes when we are challenged with something, we think God doesn't know what he's doing, or we can't see it. So because we can't see it, we don't believe it. Faith is like, you know what? God knows what he's doing. Trust him. Trust him beyond what you see. Trust him beyond what you hear. Trust him beyond the noise of other people. Trust him beyond what everybody else tells you. This walks between you and God, and only you and God. And that's what it comes down to. And there's times that we need to shut everybody around us off and say, God, I want to hear only your voice, because I'm being moved by Dee, I'm being moved by Shirley, I'm being moved by Marjorie, and I'm not being moved by God. So God, I want to be moved by you, because though Dee's intentions are right, and maybe Shirley's intentions are right, and Marjorie's heart is right, they don't know where I should be. But God, you know where I should be, and I've got to listen to your voice to put me where I need to be. So God, I'm going to trust your voice. I can see Dee, I can see Shirley, I can see Marjorie. But you know what? I can also see God in my own way. And I can definitely hear God in my own way. So I got to trust that. And I got to believe that. So Sarah had that baby at 99 years old by faith, her and Abraham. Verse 12. Good gracious, okay. Let's skip on down, Brent. Let's go to 13. 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, convinced of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They understood this was not their final stop. They understood that this was a transition time. They understood there's a heavenly home that's being built for me by the hands of God that I've not yet seen, but I will see. I've not walked in, but I will walk in. I've not heard the voice, but I know I'll hear the voice. They believed in it to the point they lived their lives by that faith. And it says they died not seeing it, not on this side, but they're seeing it now. And they're walking there now. And Moses and Abraham and Jacob and Isaac and all of these, they are now no longer strangers in this land, but they are now eternal citizens in the kingdom of God. So you may not, you know, it's like us. We know what the Bible says in Thessalonians chapter 5, 4 or 5, that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's actually, I think, in 1 Corinthians 15. But 1 Thessalonians talks similar to that too, that there's a people that will not go by the way of the grave. They will not see death. But we all shall be changed. And if I go by the way of the grave, if I get to my deathbed and I realize I've got days or weeks to live, and they tell me that, you got days or weeks to live, and I'm sitting there and I'm laying there knowing, okay, I'm not going to see the promise of your return on this side. But God, I know I'm only a stranger and a pilgrim anyway in this land, and I know that I know that I know that promise I have believed in, that I am about to see, that all the faith that I have placed in you, Lord, and your work on the cross and your kingdom and what you have built for me, I know I'm about to see it. So this sickness doesn't take it away. This pain doesn't take it away. It doesn't discourage me, because God, I know there will be someone that follows after me that will not go by the way of the grave. And I believe that just as much too. And if I go by the way of the grave or don't go by the way of the grave, I'm in the presence of God at his hand forever. And my faith moves me to believe that, even when I maybe can't see all of that. But I believe it. And I'm assured of that. And it gives me such comfort. It gives me such peace, and it should give you peace too. It says in verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out of, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But they desire a better country. Don't we desire a better country? I'm not talking about America. I'm talking about we desire a better place. We know there is pain in this world. There is sickness. There is depression. There is discouragement. There is trials and tribulations. And I don't care what anybody says. There's no Christian that enjoys going through trials and tribulations. They may testify about that on some revival service. Oh, I'm going through trials and tribulations for the name of Jesus. But woo, glory, hallelujah. I'm going through them trials. But you're hating every one of them. We hate going through trials and tribulations. Nobody enjoys that. We know we experience that. But what does give us joy is to realize, man, there's a country ahead for me. And I am just marching along until my feet will one day step out of this rim and step into the next rim. I will cross the border. Do you hear me? We're going to cross the border one day into a country where all things are made new. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe that. And that's why I can take joy in tribulations. That the Bible says that there is nothing we go through here that compares to the glory which shall be revealed in us later. So yeah, we go through stuff. That's okay. We got a country waiting on us. By faith, Abraham, 16. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. He's prepared that for us. He's prepared us a city. Prepared it. He prepared it through Calvary. It's already done. It's already prepared. There's no more building going on. Our city is built. Our country is ready. Our home is established. There's nothing else to do. God has prepared it. The only thing separating us from our new habitation is the sound of God's voice saying, come home. That's it. Some go home early. Some go home a little bit later. But we all will one day go home. And I am thankful for the reality of that truth. Once again, brings me great peace and great comfort. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. That was his son. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Remember that story? Abraham was going to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And they're walking down the road, and Isaac says, Daddy, where's the sacrifice? I mean, even he understood the procedure. He was trained that way. He was raised that way. It's like us saying the blessing. He knew there was supposed to be a sacrifice. Daddy, where's the animal? I don't see no animal. What are we going to sacrifice? He said, son, God will provide. I mean, we would argue about that. We would debate God about that. We would challenge God about that. We would say, God, that's too much. You're asking me to do too much. I can't do that. But Abraham's faith prompted him into such action, he was willing to sacrifice the very seed from his loins in obedience to God's word. And then right when it's time to offer his son's sacrifice, he hears a noise. Thank God for the noise of God. He hears a noise, and he looked over, and there was a ram caught in a bush. And God said, there is your sacrifice. Now I know that you will obey me. Faith moves us to go beyond measures our flesh would normally not take us. Faith moves us to trust in things that our mind, because I know we're smart. We're human beings. We're smart. We think we're smart. We want to be smart. We tell everybody we're smart. You know, I have all knowledge. I know all this. I'm good at technology. I'm good at science. I'm good at math. You know, I'm good at the world politics. I know things. I got intuition. I got this. I got that. We're so smart that sometimes we fail to just trust God. I'd rather trust God than trust my brain. Can I get an amen? I know what you're thinking, yeah. I mean, God, I trust you much more than I trust my thinking. And so some intelligent people will say, why place faith and trust in something and worship something you really can't see? You need to take care of what you can see, and that is you and your life. And we've gotten a lot of this self-motivation thing where it's become about us, not about him. The only reason any of us are sitting in these blue chairs tonight is because of the hand of God in your life, period. You woke up this morning simply because God woke you up. I don't care if your cholesterol is 120. That don't mean that's what makes you live. You can be at 10 ACL and still be fine because God's got God's hand on you. You can have low cholesterol and still die. I mean, you got to realize it is God's hand and God's mercy that keeps us alive. And I believe in science. I really believe in science. It's like I said many times, I just believe in the scientist. That's the difference. The scientist is God, who's over all science. Let me read a couple more verses. We'll get you out of here. Let's skip down to, go down 22, Brandon, verse 22. I like this. By faith, Joseph, I'm going to explain this verse. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Remember that? He wanted his bones to be buried in the promised land. And they were. And by faith, he declared this, that his bones at some point would be carried over and buried in the promised land. He believed that. He trusted that. And it came to pass. Faith moves us into declaring something that causes action. Faith takes what we say we believe in and moves us to apply what we believe in, to put an application to it. Not just declare it from our lips, but do it with our life. We make that decision by faith. We actually go to that place by faith. We actually take those steps by faith. It's like the altar. You know, it's so amazing that when we have altar calls, that seems to be a free zone for so many people. Not all of you, but for some people, that's like a free zone. It's like you can't take that first step. It's like something's holding you back from going to that altar. Because the devil is back there talking to you about why you shouldn't go and you don't need to go and about everybody talking about you and everybody looking at you. And he stops our blessing. When faith is moving inside of you, let it move you to where your feet come to that altar and get what God has for you. Well, I can get what I can get in my seat. If I had a $100 bill in my hand right here and I was waving at Shirley and she didn't move out of her seat, get it. Could you reach it? Come on, get it. She couldn't get that $100 bill. She had to get out of her seat and come to where she can reach it to get it. And so for people that say, I can get back here what I need, why is there resistance? Because if there was something you really wanted up here, if there were $100 bills up here and everybody came and got one, there would be no hesitation. If there was free Taco Bell coupons up here, Mas Grande, y'all be up here. You know, whatever was available up here that your heart desired. You know, we have door prizes, not door prizes. We have drawings sometimes, Mother's Day, Father's Day. We do that sometimes, right? I ain't never seen one person win a prize and not come up. I just can't get my feet to go up here. I can't come claim my prize. Oh, they get excited. Woo! Yes, I finally won. Who was it last year won for the very first time ever? Oh, it was Kevin. Poor Kevin. Primetimer. Never won a drawing, right? He finally, for Father's Day last year, won. And he won. And I was so happy. It wasn't rigged, I promise. He won. And he was so excited. But when it comes to trusting what God is speaking to us, sometimes we don't move into action to get what he's got for us. We hold back. We step back. We wait. We're reserved. Don't be reserved, man. Faith doesn't make you reserved. Faith makes you aggressive. You go after it, and you do what God called you to do. By faith, James Lewis had a church service at Monticello Fire Department, July the 21st of 2002. By faith. By faith of people. People were talking, and God just kept stirring. And by faith, we were in and out of fire department one Saturday night back in 2002. Passed out bulletins, and by faith, Roger, I was believing that someone would walk in the door. And they did. People walked through the door. And for 2.5 years, that fire department became our church, where people came to a fire station for service. Not the big First Presbyterian on the corner, not the mighty First Baptist with its cathedral. Not the big Catholic church with all of its stained glass windows. They pulled in to a fire department, which is in the middle of a cow pasture. We'd have cows out there, if you remember that fence. Had cows. I remember Jamie and Joshua got there and pet them. Tried to pet them. Cows out there. People would park and come into a fire station with folding chairs. These are the speakers we use in the fire department. We put them on poles. These were our main speakers. We got them for monitors now. So these are bought in 2002. We had a little portable sound system. We packed up every day, had a little piece of carpet we rolled out. Even went and bought a couple of plants to dress the place up. Had a couple of fake little plants, put them on each corner, make it look like somebody. That little white podium that Bill used on Sunday morning, we had that as our podium in the fire department. By faith, I had that one service. And look what that one service in July of 2002 led to. It led to the birth of a ministry. We must let our faith move us into action. I remember I went and bought this equipment. I bought speakers, two poles, an amp, a couple microphones, microphone poles and wires. And I had it set up in the basement of our house. I had it set up in the basement. I had it all set up. I was so excited. And I called Melanie downstairs. She and I went and got it. Went and got the stuff for our service. I mean, I didn't even have anybody yet. I just went by faith and got the equipment. Because I wanted equipment. I wanted to be able to have a microphone. I wanted it to look like we knew what we were doing. I want to have some speakers and a microphone. A fake banana wouldn't work anymore like it did at my grandma's house. I had to have a real microphone. So I went and got a couple microphones. I set it all up in the basement, called Melon downstairs. And I was just cheesing, so proud. Melon. Her response was, "What'd you get that for?" "For the service." Well, and she says something like, "Well, I hope they come," or "Who's going to come?" or something like that. "So they're going to come, Melon. They're going to come. I'm taking this step of faith. They're going to come." And they did. And those Saturday night services turned into Sunday morning services, which turned into Sunday night services, which turned into Wednesday night. We used to have three services a week at the fire department. And there were times the alarm would go off during our services, and it was so funny. It was always so on time, too. I'd be saying a closing prayer. "And Lord, we thank you for your word, and we give you praise in Jesus' name." And about that time, hallelujah, y'all. Raise your hands. We going up. The trumpet of sound. That happened on numerous times. There was a service we got there one Sunday morning that they didn't tell me ahead of time. I didn't know until we got there. They said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. We got picture day today at the fire department on a Sunday." Said, "You have to set up outside." So I get there like 8 o'clock in the morning and find this out. Thank God the weather was good. I got picture that outside service. So we set up chairs in the grass outside the fire department, set my podium, my speaker, brought everything out, ran power cords, hooked it all up, had a service, and beautiful day. Outside the fire department. God just always made a way. All that was by faith. Faith moves us into action. I mean, we got to do more than just say. You remember the Andy Griffith Show where Barney and Andy's on the porch and they're sitting there and they just ate dinner and they're out there relaxing. Barney, and that salesman from Charlotte's out there. And Barney says, "Yeah, I think I'll go to Themaloo's, watch a little TV." Something else he said. "Yeah, I think I'll go to Themaloo's, watch a little TV." Well, he said a third time, and that salesman snapped. "Go to Themaloo's. Go watch TV. Just go, man. Go." That's some of us spiritually, right? "Yeah, I think I'll go to church this Sunday. Yeah, I think I'll start giving my offering. I think I'll try to get involved. I need to get to church. I need to go." Come. It's not hard. You get in your car. Welcome. Hey, sit down. Praise Jesus. Woo, got saved. How to leave. You ought to go home. It's not complicated. And I feel like saying sometimes, man, just go to church. Man, just get saved, man. Just praise the Lord. Just praise, go, give. Just do it. So many times, that's how we are. Our faith doesn't move us into action. We just talk about it. We don't do anything with it. Of course, you know that episode, Barney jumped up, said, "See you, Andy." Went on. We'll close right there. I want to pick this up next week because it goes into always verse 40, and I want to go through the rest of this about the power of faith. It's a very good chapter. Let faith move you into action. Let it not be just a word you use. Let it be something you live by to the point that it moves you into action in your life. Any comments before we close? Very quickly. I don't want to drag it out. I know it's almost 8 o'clock. Anybody got a comment or anything you want to say? Alrighty. Thank you all for being here tonight.